I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Hello there.
Hi, how's it going?
Terrific. How about with you? This is, you know, last week you told us that you were making a trade-off, and this is a new week and a new beginning. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. This week is kind of a transition week, so it's allowed me to, you know, ease out of one schedule and ease into another schedule. So that's been really good. I'm glad that I've had that opportunity instead of going
great,
you know, right from one to the other. And it's a beautiful sunny day at the moment. It was snowing earlier, but I love to see the sun. So I am very happy to be sitting here and overlooking a beautiful blue sky and sunshine.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I was trying to think, what's it going to be like being in the office and not having you there? And then I realized, wait, your office was so far away from mine that I rarely saw you anyways.
I know. And it's funny because I've already, my first day in my new role, I guess you could say, was on Monday. However, I did find myself in the office on Monday morning.
I noticed that. I showed up after a coaching session, like, Marissa's here. Okay.
Yes, and I'll be in tomorrow for a little bit. But like I said, this is a transition week, so... But luckily, okay, you know, we've got technology now. We do. FaceTime, Skype.
Yes.
Google Hangout, Zoom.
Right.
We've got lots of technology, so.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Last week, I have a coaching client that's about almost 2 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to always connect it to one of our 21 Laws sessions. But since we're not running those monthly, we're doing it every other month, I think, now. So mm-hmm. I said, how about if we just do it via Zoom? And I was surprised how easy it was.
Yeah.
You know, he literally was at his house. I was in my home office. We did our coaching session, and it was just as if we were in the same room. So technology is wonderful, and we need to make good use of it. And, you know, for our MACNE members that are in the region here in Central New York, our East Conference Room, we will be equipping with technology so that we're going to, you know, hopefully be able to do trainings from there that we can broadcast out farther and those type of things. So.
Yeah. Yep. Within the next month, I believe we should have that room set up and it's going to be really cool. I think we'll have some cameras and won't they move? The cameras are going to move.
They will. The cameras will actually sense who is speaking and will move to where the person is.
That's really cool. And I know we'll have some TVs in there so that the people who are in the room can see the people not in the room as well.
Exactly. And my responsibility tomorrow is to go to Costco and pick up 3 televisions.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, big ones.
Yeah, awesome.
Too bad we can't, like, drop one off at my house in time for the Super Bowl. No, I'm just kidding.
that is coming up.
It is coming up, but I have a big enough TV, and really, there's no place in my house for a bigger one, so.
Well,
you know what I like? I like the fact that I can put my TV in a cabinet and close the doors so that you don't always see it.
Yeah.
Because life shouldn't revolve around our televisions. But
yeah.
Anyways, so today we took a switch. We had finished 4 weeks of growth laws. Mm-hmm. And today my post that came out this morning was, are you committed to being a person of character?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds heavy, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it really is a great question because... It'd be easy just to spit off a, like, oh, yeah, well, of course.
Right.
But I think your post really requires a lot more thinking and...
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope, you know, my intention in all of these posts and the podcast is to, yes, the goal is growth and development and transformation. But I really want our listeners and my readers to really look deep inside and... Because I firmly believe that these two words, commitment and character, are the foundation for success and a foundation for significance. You know, and let me start with commitment. I mean, it's not a sexy word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those words that like, ugh. It's like exercise. Nobody says, oh, I can't wait to go exercise. We don't even call it that. We say, I'm going to go for a run, you know, or I'm going to go lift. No, you're going to go exercise, you know. But we know that if we aren't committed, you know, commitment is that daily, it's this drive, this internal drive to daily do the right thing.
Right.
And this was something that shocked me. And I don't know if I mentioned it in any of our podcasts on growth. Maybe I did, but John Maxwell spends 1 hour per day on growth.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's 71 or 72 years old. I think he turns 72 next month. Why in the world would he be spending 1 hour per day still on growth? Because he recognizes that his commitment to learning more and doing new things every day continues to make it, it builds him and increases his value that he can add to other people. Mm-hmm. And he's got so many people counting on him to deliver content, write books, give teachings, do coaching, do mentoring, that if he isn't getting better, they're not getting their value.
Right.
So his commitment to that, his commitment to doing those things daily since he was 17 years old,
wow,
has generated 100 books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I heard another great one this morning because I was listening to a podcast as I was driving to Auburn for some coaching sessions. And I forgot who it might have been. Charles Wesley. So Charles Wesley was actually the founder, if I can call it that, of the Wesleyan Methodist faith.
Mm-hmm.
But he came from England, and I believe he went to St. Simon's Island, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where he landed. But he said that every 7 years, he throws away all of the sermon notes. Because he said, if I'm not committed to getting better, I better stop preaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and as a trainer, and also some know that I also pastor a church, I think about those things. Like, am I regurgitating old material?
Right.
Or am I really? So it's this commitment, this daily thing. And you can't ever. So if I had to, let's say, rewrite an entire program, that would take a long time. But if every day I try to make it better, every time I do that class, I'm committed to making it better. Mm-hmm. It's real easy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the piece about that commitment thing. Do you have any tricks that you use to stay committed to things that you decide to do?
That's a good question.
Because I think you're a person that has a lot of commitment.
Yeah. I mean, I find that just like to keep the momentum going, right? Like inertia, things that are in motion, stay in motion. Mm-hmm. Because I look at commitment as pretty much the base of everything we do, right? So like I'm committed to making sure that my family has clothing, so I do laundry. I mean, that's right. That's a very odd way of saying it, but if I wasn't committed to doing that, then the laundry would be piling up, no one would have clean clothes. If I wasn't committed to going grocery shopping every week, we wouldn't have food. So I mean, it's really at the basis of everything we do. You just don't always think about it like that, just how right. We don't always think about, you know, our workouts as exercise,
right,
or our runs, whatever. So I think that just like to just always keep going, and there might be a week or a day where you fall off, but like consistently recommitting, and not just saying like, oh, I didn't do it one time or 1 week, so I guess that's it for me.
Right.
That just depletes us, because that consistency, I think, is key.
Exactly. You have, and when you have that day when you didn't do it, when you mm-hmm. missed that, you know, don't fall into a pit of despair. Just say, mm-hmm. okay, what can I learn about why did I not stay true to that plan?
Right.
Make that tweak and get right back on the bus, so to speak, or on mm-hmm. the bicycle to keep pedaling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you set something that you wanted to be committed to, I mean, clearly there was you had a reason behind it.
Right.
So recalling that, like why you wanted to be committed to whatever it is, anything.
Exactly.
You know, a marriage, a relationship.
Right. Right.
Keeping that top of mind will bring you right back. And you might realize, and if it doesn't, then maybe it's really not something that you're committed to right now or should be committed to.
Exactly. And I love how you talked about the relationship piece. You know, I think we live in a time when everything is disposable,
mm-hmm.
and we even think that we can just switch out friends and friendships mm-hmm. and relationships, and I think we really need to think that through. And are we truly living our commitment to the people in our lives that we're committed to? You know, I think the final statement or final sentence I had in that portion of my post was, our commitment to ourselves, our families, and our organizations is lived out by doing small things daily, which over time achieve great results.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how many years my parents have been married. Let's see. My dad got married when he was 20.
Well, how old is your oldest sibling? And then add.
I don't remember. But I do remember that my dad was 20 when he got married, because I was 20 when I got married. And my dad is 86. So they've been married 66 years. I think it's actually going to be 67 years on February 8th.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the neat part is, if you could see them, and I'm certain in the 67 years of their marriage, there were tough times. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, my wife and I have been blessed. I'm blessed to be married 37 years. And it's not always sunshine and roses.
Mm-hmm.
But when the commitment piece is there, over time, you can see if you could, you know, I wish I could just give everybody like a 30-minute video of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
If they're walking somewhere, they're holding hands. And it isn't just to keep one of the other ones from falling over, okay? My mom has trouble. She trips a lot lately because she doesn't pick her feet up like she should. Mm-hmm. But in my pictures on my iPad that I've taken old slides and I've digitized them, there's pictures from 1979 where they were mm-hmm. walking to my brother's house, who lived around the corner from our house. They're holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always remember my parents holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that commitment has turned into this beautiful relationship of these people for 67 years. And I see too many old couples where they're just arguing with each other and complaining about each other.
Mm-hmm.
No, not if you're committed to investing in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, I didn't mean to beat that dog so hard. It just, when you talk about relationships, right away my mind went to theirs, and I think they have an amazing one, and mm-hmm. it's great to see. So the next word was character. And you can't have one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a person of character without commitment. And what drives commitment is our character. And the interesting thing about character is a choice. It's what we do when nobody's looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you and I had touched on this in the few minutes that we were chatting before we hit record. There's people that you know of that have that are people of tremendous character, and you can tell, you can see it. I'm thinking of when I listened to the funeral from George H.W. Bush,
mm-hmm.
a man of character, a man of unbelievable character. And you found out about it by what others thought about him. You know, that even when he could have taken the easy road and made himself look better, he didn't. The one example I can think of is that there was a senator from Wyoming, I think it's Wyoming, Alan Simpson. Alan Simpson, I don't know what he did. He got himself into something where the press was all over him. And his poll numbers were like less than 1% approval kind of thing. And at that time, that was probably shortly after the Gulf War, where George H.W. Bush's approval ratings were probably in the 90s. And he decides he's going to invite Alan Simpson and Alan's wife with he and Barbara to go to Camp David. And he made sure the media saw him taking Alan Simpson to Camp David.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we talked about this on one of our podcasts. I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
But the whole point was and then it's Sunday morning. He goes to get all the papers till he finds the one that has President H.W. Bush and Alan Simpson, like, getting out of Marine One or whatever. And he goes, "This is the one I was looking for, Alan." And he handed it to him,
mm-hmm.
you know, because his character was such that he wanted his friend to be cast in a better light,
mm-hmm.
even if it meant dragging his down, so to speak. So to me, that's a character piece. You can see in any great leader that fails, it's typically a character flaw.
Yeah.
They weren't willing to deny themselves something. When part of it is power. Power, absolute power corrupts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a quote that I put in here. I think this was Abraham Lincoln's. Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. Wow. So that's the difference between great leaders and bad leaders, is the great leaders understand it's not about them, it's not about the power, it's always about the other person, and they have to guard their character at all cost. In what ways do you think, Marissa, people show character?
I think people show their character a lot when dealing with like customer service situations or traffic.
At
the airport. At the airport.
Yes.
You know, I think that on a very elementary level, you can see a lot there.
Yep.
And it's funny because I think you can also learn a lot about someone's character by observing their children or the character of their children.
Oh, yeah.
Because your kids are sponges and they will pick up exactly what you do and how you treat people,
right.
and the
right.
standards to which you hold yourself. And so I always think about that. Like when you mentioned like character is how we behave when we think no one's watching.
Right.
And that's the perfect example in my mind.
Sure.
And I know we mentioned this before, but I think it's really important that we not only consider, we think we need to first consider our character and how we behave and the standards to which we hold ourselves and the things that we believe are non-negotiable and and all of that. But secondarily, I think we need to hold other people to higher standards, the people
Absolutely.
That report to us or the people that are friends, people that we interact with, companies that we support and invest in. You know, when you're putting your money behind a brand that doesn't hold themselves to a high standard like that, I mean, you're
right.
You're supporting their lack of character almost. So I think that that's really important too, especially right now in today's world. I feel like the people aren't valuing character as much as we used to.
Exactly. No, you're right. We do not hold people to a high enough standard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I wrote about that at one of my first posts long before we did a podcast,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we need to expect more from people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to expect more from ourselves first, from our companies, from our elected officials,
mm-hmm.
From anybody that's in a position of authority, you know, our artists, our athletes.
Mm-hmm.
We should just decide as a country that, you know what, we're not going to accept bad character.
Right.
There's no reason for it. Just the whole language that people will choose to use and
mm-hmm.
and the things that they will portray, it's just awful.
Mm-hmm.
John Wooden said, ability may get you to the top, but it takes character to keep you there.
Mm-hmm.
And he recognized, too, that a lot of great athletes, they may have all the ability in the world, but if they're not people of character, if they're not committed to being good people, to committed to continually getting better, continually practicing, crafting their skill, they're not going to stay there. And I think that's such a true statement. And
mm-hmm.
and I think I like where you started talking about, you know, we have to kind of live out and show that character to our families. You know, you and I we exchanged some emails with one of our listeners this past week,
mm-hmm.
Where it looked like we kind of all three of us ended up admitting that we were raised by really great parents.
Yes.
And for me, it's really easy for me to figure out how my dad turned out the way he did. And it was because of his dad. And the example that I'll use is that, when my grandpa got out of farming, he was a dairy farmer. There was a sale, there was an auctioning off of all the implements and things like that. And the barn was full of hay, and that barn, I don't know how much a barn full of hay was worth back then, but I'm sure it was significant. And they were going to auction it off, and the man that was going to buy the farm said, no, that goes with the barn, which was not true. It was not the case. And my dad, who was probably a lot like I was when I was 16 years old, in terms of being a little bit more outspoken than perhaps he should have been, said, Dad, you know that's not true. And my grandfather, who was not a very outspoken man by any means, mm-hmm. What I do remember of him is he was a very quiet man, a man of conviction, but not a lot of words. He just turned to my dad and actually quoted a scripture out of the book of Proverbs that said, first he said, you know, Bob, be quiet. A good name is to be cherished above great riches. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And he walked away from the revenue because he didn't want to make a spectacle in front of his neighbors. He'd rather take the short end of the stick and prove that he was an honorable, good man. And boy, mm-hmm. imagine if everybody would do that. Mm-hmm. You know, always preferring other people. And so I really think that these two words can't be separated. Commitment and character. And part of it is that I stole this from John Maxwell. John said, you know, we're not human doing, we're human beings. So it's not so much what you do, it's who you are. And if we focus on who we are, we will do the right things. Mm-hmm. Are we committed? And are we committed to being people of character? High moral character, where we value other people. And I also loved how you said, you know, where do we shop? Who do we buy from? Who do we work for? Who mm-hmm. do we have working for us? Mm-hmm. And if we have this character piece in the forefront of our mind all the time, that's going to make those decisions for us.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of those people, I get really stubborn about who I buy from. Mm-hmm. I like Fords, but I also like the fact that Ford didn't need a government bailout.
Right.
They didn't ask somebody else to pay their debt. Mm-hmm. They mortgaged themselves to the hilt, so to speak. And so for me, that was just another reason to buy a Ford.
Right.
I love to shop at Costco, not because I get a great price, but it's because of the way they treat their employees, and the way they treat their employees is the way their employees treat me. I mean, they just, mm-hmm. it's a different experience.
Yeah.
Than any place else.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a situation where you had a great experience. Why don't you mm-hmm. share that in closing?
Yeah. Recently, I contacted the Disney store via live chat, which is like a joke in my house. My husband always says that I'm always live chatting with customer service representatives. but we recently purchased some princess figurines for Isla for Christmas, and one of her favorite princesses' arms broke off. And not because she was playing too roughly, but we just took her out of her bag and she was broken. And it's not like an arm that's meant to be detached or anything. It's stationary. So I just contacted them. I wanted to see if they could like replace that one. Just, you know, I didn't need a whole new set. And they treated me so well. They referred to Isla as my princess. And awesome. Which is very on brand for Disney, right? And they said, we will, you know, expedite you a new set. And when I asked, I said, well, you know, how would you like me to return the current set, the broken one? And they said, you know what, just let your princess keep that. And so,
wow,
you know, just again, like a great experience. I wouldn't expect anything less from Disney, but just, you know, it makes me feel really good about where we're spending our money. We like to watch Disney movies. We frequent Disney World. It just makes you think about the brands that you're interacting with.
Exactly. That's just such a great, great example. Mm-hmm. And so I think all of us, we should, because if we are people committed to high character, we will support those folks that display it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I had an interesting one. You'll recall that a few years back, after my water skiing accident, I was on crutches for 3 months mm-hmm. and I had to fly. And I don't think we talked about this on a podcast, but I had to fly. And one of the planes that I had to fly in was so small that it, they didn't use a jetway. You had to kind of, it wasn't like a fancy jet. It was just a small jet. Okay.
Yes. It was a regional.
Fancy. It was a regional. We're not talking. We're not talking about a Learjet or anywhere. So I get to the, I hobble my way to the bottom of the steps, and the flight attendant says to me, "Those won't fit in this plane." Like, so what would you like me to do? You know? And so she says, "Well, I suppose once you get to your seat, I can put them in the cargo hold." I said, "Well, gee, thanks. That's nice." The worst part was that flight got canceled, so I had to hobble off the plane. When I got onto the next plane, different, same airline, different flight attendant, she said, "You know, sir, let me help you. Why don't you just, once you get to your chair, I'll put that in the cupboard where I hang up my coat."
Mm-hmm.
Same company, two completely different personalities or mm-hmm. or people on the plane, you know. And then we all, you know, you and I know, I know you enjoy flying JetBlue, and I do mm-hmm. too, because the people are just nicer.
Yep.
You know, Southwest is great too, but and I typically try to do as much flying on airlines mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. And that's not saying others aren't great, but I try to reward the people that know how to treat people. Well, and again, that's character.
And one thing I love about JetBlue is that they don't overbook their flights.
Right.
So they're, you know, they could, right? Just like all the other airlines right. do, to make some extra money and mm-hmm. Deal with the mess at the end if there happens to be one. But
right.
In my mind, it's that is a display of character, because
exactly.
they value the people that have, you know, purchased their tickets, that are flying with them. And they want yep. to make the experience a good one and not just a money grab.
Exactly. You don't have any videos of people being dragged off a JetBlue flight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? JetBlue owes us some sponsors.
I know. I'm flying JetBlue in like 2 weeks, so.
And I will be in probably six, but oh well. Anyways, so, you know, and again, I do want to drive it to a personal one. Are we as individuals people of character?
Mm-hmm.
Are we committed to the people in our lives that are important to us? Are we making the right choices, doing the right things when nobody's looking? And if the mm-hmm. answer to that question is yes, there is no doubt in my mind. If we have that beautiful blending, the medley of commitment and character, not only will we be successful in life, and I'm not talking just financially, I'm talking successful in, you know, the families that we're blessed to raise and be around, but we're going to truly live a life of significance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our goal.
Yes,
to make
is.
A difference.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what we're talking, do you want to know what we're talking about next week?
Of course I do.
Investments.
Ooh, that's fun.
I just thought of that because I was looking at a note I had on my iPad. So it's investments.
Cool.
So we'll tease folks with that.
Great.
All right. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.